Thank you for joining me today. We've been discussing the idea that the Bible fits together in such a wonderful way. And what the Bible does, it allows us to see today's news in the light of God's Word. And we're using history and archaeology. We're using prophetic stories. We're using breaking news. But most of all, we're using the Bible. And we spent some time on archaeology yesterday. But today, I want to go to what's taking place right now, current events. So if you look at this, it's history, it's current events, it's the future, all related to the Bible. That's how come we can understand what's taking place today, because we have God's Word, and we can look at the past, the present, and the future. Well, we're done with archaeology for a moment, but we'll refer back to it. But I want to talk about what the Bible has to say about the future things, and I want to show you how these are taking place in our news today. Often I refer to the fact that God's time clock is Israel. It's the hour hand. In Jerusalem, it's the minute hand. So when we see God moving Israel back into the land, well, that's the hour hand. We know that God's time clock is moving and it's ticking away. And when you see Jerusalem, the center of attention, and wow, it's been the center of attention for the last decade or so, hasn't it? But it's really heating up. Then we know that it's the minute hand is moving. But the Temple Mount, that's what God has based so many things on His Word on. Matter of fact, the Antichrist, based on Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, don't worry, we're going to take a whole lesson or two or three on that important passage and other prophecies in Daniel. Because in Daniel 9, 27, it says that the Antichrist will come, he'll make a deal, a peace treaty with Israel for a period of seven, and he's going to break and destroy that in the middle of it. Revelation chapter 13 documents what will take place. We know exactly what will take place. He is going to stop a sacrifice. But if he's going to stop a sacrifice, well, he's got to begin one. And that will take place. And we're going to talk about how that the news is showing how that's getting ready to take place in the land of Israel. So that's God's time clock. But among the things the Bible says is this. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2, it says this. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling, a cup of shaking. It also talks about how that it would become a burdensome stone. A stone, when you lift it, you'd get a hernia from it. That's really the word that's used. Unto all people round about when they are in a siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And if we look at what's taking place in the last several months, we've watched Iran make public discriminating statements against Israel. Their hatred for them. Matter of fact, they call them the little Satan. And the United States is the big Satan. And they promise this, that they're going to destroy both the big Satan and the little Satan. And the news of this last month says that right now Russia has made it so that they've given the technology to Iran so that they're 90% lethal in terms of their nuclear weapons. That's enough to make a bomb. Yeah. Isn't it amazing that we watch Russia? Russia's not just in the Ukraine. Russia's active in many other places, as you're going to see in a moment. And then the PLO, backed again by Russia, encouraged by Russia. And they're making derogatory statements concerning Israel. Wait till I show you a video clip later in our program today and probably another one tomorrow or so. Unbelievable statements. If anyone else made those about any other nation, let me tell you, the United Nations would have a fit. And then Russia, Mr. Putin. Now, you want to know something? I think Mr. Putin is a madman. I think he may be demon-possessed. But I also see a lot of reports about the fact that there's some medical problems. And I think before the week is done, I may show you some articles that say that they actually found Mr. Putin going to an Orthodox church. I wonder if he's worried about his soul. And I wonder if he's convicted about the fact that he may not live forever. He may not live to see all of his dreams of having all the world bow down to Russia and to communism. And China. China's true colors have shown. Communist China. Don't get me wrong. The Chinese people are wonderful people. The Russian people are wonderful people. But their leaders are godless leaders. And that's why the trouble is as it is. And so we see people, but they're ruled by ungodly leaders. And that's what leads to trouble. And then I put this little clip in here. The UN's bias against Israel. Keep this in mind. You know what? From the year 2015 to the year 2022, all the world together, 66 commendations by the UN, 66 times they've reprimanded people, including all the wicked governments that are there. and 140 for just Israel. Think about how unfair that is and the bias that's there. We'll look at more of that later. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible has a prophecy in Ezekiel 38 and 39. It talks about nations that will come against Israel. On the map, you'll see the little speck that's yellow. That's Israel. That little teeny speck. And the Bible says at the end time, these nations would come and side against them. And we're watching that take place. Leader after leader in these last months have all sided against Israel, exactly what the Bible said. I'm wondering, are we living at a time, because the Bible also describes this as the latter years. And then it says this, that there's going to come a time when Russia is going to come to take a great spoil, to take something of great value, silver and gold. They talk about how valuable it is. I think there's some ideas that we might be able to uncover in the news that will help us in that. Russia and the spread of its ugly accusations against Israel, its ugly striving for power. We've watched their aggressiveness in the Ukraine. We watched them kill not only the Ukrainian people, but also their own people. We see hundreds, thousands of young men deserting Russia because they hate communism. They hate their leader. But what's interesting is that we've watched since 2019, we've seen the cooperation with Iran in Syria. Now, how heartbreaking, because you know what? Recently, we saw the United States actually even join and give permission for Russia to give this extra boost to the Iranian nuclear program. Iran didn't have the technology alone to make a bomb. But with Russia's help, they do. And with China's help, they do. And we're watching that. And Iran is actually boasting of that. And so we know that they don't have it. They're weeks away from it. Oh, relax. I believe that Christ will come in the rapture of the church before that takes place. But isn't it ironic that this is what the Bible said? Matter of fact, the Bible mentions in Zechariah chapter 14 that when the tribulation breaks out, that there will be a time when the flesh will melt off of people. I think it is a nuclear holocaust that occurs in that tribulation time. I think it's important for you to get the chart that you can download free from our website, and you'll be able to see when that takes place. It will be very helpful in your study. But here again is Israel. And so it's interesting because on the border of Israel and Syria, we can actually, when I go there, I can see Russian tanks and Russian soldiers right there. We go north to Lebanon. And now we see that Lebanon, in spite of all of its economic hardships, because it's dominated now by a terrorist organization, Hezbollah. And Hezbollah has now been given the rights to have the gas field that belongs to Israel. Wait till I show you this. I just want you to see that these things are all taking place exactly as the Bible said. Now, here's the gas field. And to really understand this, you need to remember that only recently there was a gas line that was Russia's supply to Europe, and particularly to Germany, and it was blown up. I personally think that it was probably done by the United States. And sometime we'll take a program or two, and I'll show you why, because I'm just simply going to quote the White House and the promises made by our White House, and the line was blown up, and Russia accuses us of it. And why would they blow up their own line? Because that was the wealth of Russia. It gave them tremendous power over European countries because they supplied their gas. Well, it's blown up. But what is interesting is that the largest gas, natural gas field in the world actually belonged to Israel. So here's the coastline of Israel. Here's the Mediterranean Sea. And this is offshore natural gas fields. Do you know that just in the last several months, the United States actually brokered the deal backed by Russia, a deal in which the gas fields that were clearly Israel's with only a small part Lebanon, now we've said, okay, you've got to give that to Lebanon, not just to Lebanon, but to Hezbollah, a terrorist organization. It was the U.S. leaders who brokered this deal. I've got the news articles. I'll show them to you. We'll talk about it. I'm sure that we'll get some questions on that, and that'll be fun to look at. But isn't it incredible that great value of the natural gas has been given not just to Lebanon, but to Hezbollah? And furthermore, Here's what they said. They said that a royalty, just a royalty, will be sent to Israel. Can you imagine a terrorist organization that's trying to destroy Israel ever sending a royalty check to it? I know this. They've never sent a royalty check for anything to Israel. And furthermore, just to make matters worse, the United States government promised that if Hezbollah doesn't send the royalty check, then we would send it. Oh, my goodness. You think our tax burden is great now. When do we start paying the royalty check? Because Hezbollah will never pay a royalty check to the Israeli government. And so this is taking place. You know what? The Bible said that Russia is going to come for something of great value, to take a spoil, to see something of great gain. Maybe it's the wealth of the Dead Sea, because the Dead Sea has so many minerals, it's so valuable. Maybe it's future gas and oil discoveries in Israel. I think the Bible mentions that these will come. Wow, that will be a fun program when we delve into the oil and gas that's Israel. Or maybe it's the gold that was in Solomon's temple that's never been discovered yet. Maybe someone does know where it is. But the Bible says this, that Russia will come for a great spoil, Ezekiel chapter 38. And they'll come for something of great value. But perhaps in the short term, it might be this natural gas field. Well, Russia's making its demands. Exact as the Bible said. It said that Russia would bring armies with it, nations with it. It names them. And every one of those countries has now sided with Russia against Israel, just renewing their commitment in the last several months. Here's a strange one. You know, if you think that they're bold because they marched into the Ukraine and they're claiming territories there, they're saying this, that really the Ukraine belongs to them. They say the Ukraine territory, the land, belongs to them. And yet they say it's wrong for Israel to say that we own Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. But furthermore, Russia, in the month of December, went a step further. They demanded that Israel hand over the ownership to Russia of three churches located on the Mount of Olives and in the Old City. Unbelievable. Can you believe that they would have the nerve to make that request? Well, you see, they are power-hungry driven government with a power-hungry driven leader. And the Bible says in the last days they will make unreasonable demands on Israel. They will come and they will claim stuff of great value. And wow, we're watching it take place before our very eyes. I want to switch from Russia and I'm going to go to the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount, we tried to talk about historically a few days ago. And here's what we saw. It's so important. You see, often in the Bible, a place is repeated time and time again. And so it was with the Temple Mount. Remember, it was a place where Abraham offered up Isaac. It was a place where David, when he had sinned in numbering the people, that God said, go to the threshing floor of Ornan and offer a sacrifice. So the great sacrifice of Abraham and Isaac, the great sacrifice of David for the sins of numbering the people. And then he told Solomon to build the temple right there on Mount Moriah. And when that temple was destroyed, when they went into Babylon and rebuilt, it was rebuilt in the same spot. And when Herod rebuilt the temple again, it was built in the same spot. You know what? The great sacrifices in the history of Israel all have been on Mount Moriah, on the Temple Mount area. Well, here's what's making the news today. You see, Israel, they have a new government under Netanyahu. They have a new minister of national security. His name is Ben-Vir. And Ben-Vir is interesting because, you see, he believes that Israel should have the right to go up on the Temple Mount and to pray. I agree with him. But what's interesting is that when Israel took over Jerusalem, when they won Jerusalem in the 1967 war, they give status quo to this area. In other words, even though they won it, they said, we're still going to allow Islam, Muslims, to worship at Al-Aqsa Mosque. Now, that didn't come until way later. Because as I proved historically and archaeologically, this area belonged to Israel for a long time, hundreds of years, thousands of years. And now they come along lately and they build this. And wow, we'll examine more in some of our future ones or questions and we'll look at it again. And the Dome of the Rock, not really a mosque, the Dome of the Rock, a place of that's called the third holiest place. This is called the second holiest place to Islam. But straight in from the east gate, you'll find a little cupola up there. And that cupola is where I think the Holy of Holies is. Here's what the Bible says, measure off from the Holy of Holies and the commonplace, the profane place, he said, and I'm going to put my sacrifices there again. I believe that Israel is planning to do sacrifices again on the Temple Mount. Now, this man says that he believes that the Jews should have a right to go up. And yet, when he went up, what's interesting is he did a 13-minute walk, peaceful walk. It's filmed. And how it was described by the Jordanian Palestinian Authority, they said this, that they stormed the Temple Mount. That's not true. It's not true at all. It's a complete, total fabrication. No, he walked up there. And you know what? I walked up there with other people. We can't have a Bible because they say a Bible is a radical book. It can start a revolution. And I've dedicated my own grandchildren there. But you see, the status quo says that everyone should be allowed to pray, but they're interpreting, no, just Islam is allowed to pray there. That's not true. That's not at all what the status quo said. What they're saying is a lie. And if you repeat the lie long enough and loud enough, sometimes it gains momentum. Matter of fact, they say that there's not a single stone that proves Jewish occupation. Huh. I've already talked to you about the bell on the priest's garment. I've talked to you about the shekel that was found there and the symbol of the priest, the menorah. I've talked to you about the fact that there's Jewish stones with Jewish Hebrew writing on them. And if you go out to the graveyard off of the Temple Mount, you know what you'll find? You'll find 20,000 tons of debris that they dug out from the Temple Mount area underneath as they do the excavations. And it has Hebrew writing on it, Hebrew pottery. And they're right when they say there's not one stone that shows Jewish occupation. There's 20,000 tons of stones that do. And they're busy with a rock saw cutting them in pieces because they don't want people to see it. But it's too late. We've seen it. We have pictures of it. It's unbelievable. Now, here's this man, and he says, we think that we should be allowed to pray there like everybody else. We're not saying that you can't come and pray, but we're just saying that we should come and pray. Sometime next week, I'm going to show you. I just met with a Jewish priest. He was on the backside of the East Gate. He wanted to pray. He couldn't go any further. I met him there. He had a police escort, and he should have the right to pray. But what's happened is we're watching these countries gang up on Israel. And so recently, I'm talking January the 4th, Jordan King Abdullah, he goes to the UAE and says, hey, this is horrible. The Jewish people are going up there and they're praying. Why shouldn't they? That's the status quo. That's what they gave permission for. And they're saying, no, they're causing trouble. They're causing no trouble. They go up and pray. Matter of fact, one of them went up there with a cell phone and with Jewish music, and he was thrown off of the Temple Mount. But they can have all kinds of other music up there, but just not Jewish music. And so the Jerusalem Post reports how that this visit comes, and it's all sparked over, or the visit to the Temple Mount is sparked. And so here's United Arab Emirates. They come and they say, you can't do it. China's joined in. Turkey's joined in. Russia's joined in. All of them come. So they go and they say, we've got to have a meeting with the UN Security Council. They called it. And here's the meeting that would take place. Now, what is so interesting about this is that when Turkey joined this, and he said his visit was unacceptable, it's causing trouble. You know what? This is exactly what the Bible said. You want to know why it's causing trouble? Because the Bible said in the last days, there's going to be a conflict, and it can only be resolved by an Antichrist, and he's going to make peace somehow. Isn't this amazing? Somehow, this Antichrist is going to make peace. And when he does, he's going to get a contract that Israel is going to agree to, these nations are going to agree to, and it's going to allow Israel permission to use the Temple Mount. And halfway through it, he's going to break his promise. Folks, this is recorded in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, Revelation chapter 13. This is taking place exactly as the Bible said. Oh, there's another thing that I want to point out to you, because it's interesting, because the Biden administration, they said, yeah, Israel's wrong. Can you believe it? Our government is siding against Israel and their right to pray on their own Temple Mount. They own it. They practiced their religion there for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years, even before this mosque was built, before that building was erected, they were using that for their sacred places. And now they're going to be outlawed from being able to go up there. And we're watching the Biden administration support that. Unbelievable. And so the United Nations, they come and they say, wow, this is horrible. And so they have this special meeting. They say it's provoking international statements against Israel. It's going to break into a war. It's become so controversial that they actually had to put this sign up again. There was a sign there for a long time that said, no Jew could go up there until they were cleansed. But now, how do you cleanse it, by the way? Well, what a subject that has to do with the red heifer, the cremated ashes of the red heifer. But they say they had to re-put the sign there. Let's go ahead, because our time goes so quickly when we've only got 30 minutes every day. The Sanhedrin, they're appealing to the European Union. They're appealing to the United Nations. Why is that important? Well, it's interesting because Israel now has a Sanhedrin, and the process to begin animal sacrifices would be to purify a Sanhedrin, to purify a priesthood, and begin animal sacrifice, all taking place. One other detail before we look at this important clip. Israel's red heifer. The Bible says that the start of sacrifices will come as they cremate a red heifer. They will do it based on a passage in the Bible, Numbers 19, and we'll go through that. But what is interesting is that just in this fall, five red heifer were shipped from the United States, from Texas, into Israel, and they're inspecting them because they can have no white hair. Otherwise, they'd be disqualified. Israel is ready to sacrifice. And that's why there's such an upstart of controversy about this, because they don't want Israel to sacrifice. Now, here's my question. Who really owns the Temple Mount? Well, I say it's God, and he gave permission to Israel to dwell there. He gave it to Abraham and Isaac when they did the sacrifice. He gave it to David. He gave it to King Solomon, and even when they rebuilt the temple under Herod, it was there. Rome saw that and recognized it as Israeli, as Jewish. And so now, all of a sudden, we've changed our mind. And we said there's been no reason for the Jews to worship there. They can't even pray there. Totally ridiculous. And so now what I want to do, I want to play you a clip that just took place. And this clip is interesting because listen to the stern language and to the disrespect that you're going to hear as this man reads in the United Nations Security Council, just took place. Here's what he said.
Haram al-Sharif will not fall. I repeat, al-Haram al-Sharif will never fall. Will not fall. It will stand for generations to come. It has outlasted Begin, Shamir, and Sharon, and will outlast Netanyahu, Ben Gvir, and Erdogan. Those who pursue the temporal and spatial division of Al-Haram or plan to overtake it do not comprehend what it represents for all Palestinians, for Arabs, and for Muslims around the world. They do not comprehend the sensitivity of this holy site for billions of people in all corners of the globe. Listen carefully to me. They should stop you. This council should stop you. It is their responsibility. The responsibility of this council and all states to uphold international law and the historic status quo. They should stop you. But make no mistake, if they don't, our Palestinian people will. Mr. President, one should not lose sight of another critical fact. Al-Haram al-Sharif is in occupied East Jerusalem, an integral part of the occupied Palestinian territory, a fact repeatedly affirmed by this Council and the General Assembly. These are the facts that you have adopted. Also, Israel has no claim and no right to sovereignty over the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem, and therefore no rightful claim over Al-Haram al-Sharif. Israelis' actions have nothing to do with religious freedom.
Well, I told you that you'd be stunned when you heard the sternness of it. You see, here's what's interesting. The Jews were willing to share the site with these people. Yes, their religions are completely different. The Jewish religion is different than Christianity. The Jewish religion is certainly different than Islam. But the Jews said, yeah, we have this site. It's ours. We've been using it for thousands of years, but we'll share it. And now, all of a sudden, because they shared it, they're saying now that the Jews aren't allowed there. Do you see that this is absolutely ridiculous? But the United Nations sides time and time against the Jews. The statement is even more stern. And I'm going to play that on the program tomorrow, and it'll be something that you won't believe. But you see, here's my point. All the indicators are converging to a point in time. And that point in time is now. That's why I think we're close to when Christ will come back in the rapture of the church. Because the world is exactly in the position that God said it would be in at the end of the church age and just before the tribulation would begin. But before the tribulation can begin, there's got to be the rapture of the church. And after the rapture of the church, the Antichrist then is going to do his devilish act. Revelation chapter 6 talks about how a seal will be broken and the Antichrist will come and he'll make this devilish deal, this devilish bargain with Israel. Wow, that chart is important. Take a few minutes, download the chart, and take a few minutes and download the booklet on great indicators for the last days. Because you see, I think it's important for us to ask this question, are you ready? Do you know Christ is your Savior? You see, we're doing these programs not just so that we can enjoy archaeology and current events and Bible study, but I think it's important for you to ask this question to yourself. Have there ever been a time you accepted Christ? Christ died for the sins of every person. He gives you eternal life if you admit that I'm a sinner. Secondly, if you admit that Jesus is the one who's the Savior, he died on the cross, he shed his blood, he rose again for your sins, and then to accept him, to personally say, I accept Christ as my substitute, as my Savior. Or if you know Christ, are you following Christ? I trust you will. And we look forward to having you join us in our program tomorrow as we look at additional items concerning the controversial place called the Temple Mount. Thank you for joining us today.